The Diary of Fate. Fate plays no favorites. It could happen to you.
It is recorded that man's destiny is written upon the face of time. Each one's course is charted, from the cry at birth to the expiration at death. The life chart of Darryl James now before me is of particular interest. He was a bright young man about Wall Street. His classmates voted him the man most likely to succeed. But predictions in college yearbooks are merely wishful thinking. For the real truth and ultimate end is written on the larger ledger, an inexorable scroll in the diary of fate. And now, I, Fate, accelerating the clock of time, bring into the present a momentous incident of the future.
Darryl, darling, what are you doing with that gun?
An old piratical custom. Just burying another Cantillon victory.
Darryl, put that gun down, you man!
Yes, Darryl James. Whom the gods destroy, they first make mad. Your act of madness marks you for death and will hang you from that ancient Bermudian scaffold as did the pirate of Cantillon. Remember, Darryl, fate is not unkind. Fate is just. And justice demands that you die. In a moment, I will read again from the Diary of Fate.
In just a moment, the strange story of Darryl James. But now, a word from your announcer.
In the life of Darryl James, an ultimate decision for evil was made. And that decision, so carefully thought out and planned, was doomed to failure because of the little things. For these are the tools with which I, Fate, mold the pattern of your invisible destiny. Remember, Darryl, it was in New York City. You were the customer's man who became the ladies' man. You married Felicia Catalan, whose social position and great wealth were her only compensation for a plain face. At advanced middle age. Later, after a few years of living the comfortable life of a well-kept husband, you discovered Patty Daniels, a beautiful model. And this momentous night is another in the long list of weekly rendezvous. In one of those typical side street restaurants in Midtown New York, she waits for you.
Good evening, Miss Patty. Are you alone tonight?
I think I've been stood up.
Would you order now, madame?
No, Charles. I'll just nurse this cocktail along for a while longer.
Very well, madame.
Hello, darling. Oh. I'm sorry to be late. Do you mind if I sit down?
Oh, now look what you've done. You've spilled my cocktail all over my dress.
Oh, Charles, how about a cloth to dry off Miss Patty's dress?
Oh, don't bother. Just order me another drink and make it a good one. After tonight, I'm leaving this town and you for good.
Now, Patty, let's not go through that again. I tell you, I'll talk to Felicia tomorrow morning.
That's a couple of hours too late. After tonight, I'm finished. I get claustrophobia living in a marital triangle.
But, Patty, you've got to give me time.
Time? You said that 6 months ago.
I know, but, well, I just can't walk out on her.
You mean you just can't walk out on her money?
What money? The Cantillon millions doled out in monthly allowances? I promise you I'll tell her in the morning.
No, Darryl. It's been mañana once too often.
Look, Patty, I gave you my word.
I don't trust her. She'll bribe you to come back.
It's over between us. I tell you, it's all over.
The last time you said that, she came up suddenly with a 60-foot yacht.
Please, Patty. What do you want me to do?
I want you to phone her.
Phone her? Why?
Got to know tonight.
What's come over you, Patty? You've never been so difficult before.
Got an offer, a good offer, to go to California. I'm going if you don't phone.
I see. Okay, let's have dinner and then put the call through.
Now.
But there's no phone here.
The phone didn't say, Jane. Here's an instrument, sir. Just plug the cord behind it.
Well,
How convenient. Thank you, Charles. Shall I dial the number for you, Daryl?
You're sure enjoying this, aren't you?
Hello?
I'll take it. Hello, Felicia? This is Daryl. Yes, I'm in town. No, I'm not at my club. What's that? When? Meeting in the morning. Why, yes, dear, of course. Yes, I'll be right home. Yes. Goodbye.
Yes, Daryl James, because of a little thing. A spilled drink. Abby's long, smoldering resentment was sparked to a crisis. The result was a phone call. And then, quite suddenly, the cascading of events found you on a boat, heading for the sunny Isle of Bermuda. What was it, Daryl, that Felicia said to you that so completely changed you from a deserting husband to a rekindled lover, embarked on a second honeymoon? And now the salt spray of the Atlantic sweeps the rail of the steamship Southern Cross, and you and Felicia, tucked in your deck chairs, are a picture of contentment.
Oh, my. Oh, that was a big wave. Oh, darling, I dropped my purse. Will you pick it up, dear?
Allow me, madam. I have it. Here you are.
Oh, thank you.
Pardon me, but I noticed that one coin you dropped. May I see it again?
Why, of course. Here you are.
I thought so. This is quite a rare coin, you know.
Oh, really? It's sort of a good luck piece.
Oh, won't you sit down and join us in some free salt spray?
Thank you. My name is Justin. Professor Frederick Justin.
Oh, this is my wife, Mrs. James.
How do you do, Professor James?
You were saying about that coin, that it was rare.
Yes. May I ask where you got it?
Oh, my mother found it years ago on her place in Bermuda.
Oh. You folks live on the island permanently or just a visit?
Oh, my wife has an estate down here, the Cantillon Estate.
It's near Spithead.
It's quite a coincidence.
Oh, what is?
We are going to be neighbors.
Neighbors?
Oh, but Professor, are you sure? Sir Howard Waddingham's is the only estate near ours.
I'm going as guest of Sir Howard. That is, in the capacity of, shall we say, an employee.
Doing what?
Tracing his genealogical chart. You see, I'm a sort of an authority on Caribbean lore.
Oh, that's interesting. There must be lots of treasures stacked away somewhere among these islands. Stands to reason.
Most of it is undersea, I believe. Someday the lost records of these buccaneers will be found, and then you'll see the biggest treasure hunt since the gold rush of 49.
Oh, really?
Why, even the Cantillon estate was once the hideout of Frith, pirate of Cantillon.
Oh, there was such a character.
Yes, that's why I was so interested in that coin.
Mr. Daryl James.
The steward's paging you, dear.
Steward, right here.
Mr. Daryl James?
Yes.
Cablegram.
Thank you.
Something wrong, dear?
No, it's from Winthrop, my stockbroker.
Winthrop? How did he know you were aboard the Southern Cross?
I don't know, dear. If you'll excuse me, Professor, I've got to take care of this matter immediately.
Yes, Daryl. You were almost getting to believe in this second honeymoon. New faces. New scenes and ocean voyage. But a cablegram brought you back to reality. To a conspiracy of murder. Planned the night before your boat sailed from New York. And your co-conspirator, knowing that vacillating mind of yours, decided to keep it prime. And so when the steamship Southern Cross tied up in the port of Hamilton, Bermuda, your mind was busily working on a plan.
Well, folks, we've landed and the situation is well in hand, to quote a phrase.
Oh, this island hasn't changed a mite in all these years.
Professor, would you mind giving Mrs. James a lift to Cantillon?
But why, dear, aren't you coming?
Well, it looks like clearing these customs is going to take a long time.
Glad to have your company, Mrs. James. Haven't ridden in a carriage since I was a boy. I warn you, I'm an encyclopedia on Bermuda.
That's an inducement, Professor. I'll see you at Cantillon, Daryl, dear.
I'll be there as soon as I clear. See you later, Professor.
gas. Let's start walking.
Now, what in the places are you doing in Bermuda? Your wire
said... Never mind what my wire said. I signed that and sent it for a very good reason.
But why?
Because I found out that everyone who checks in on this island has to check out after a certain amount of time or apply for permission to stay on. There are 101 holes in your plan.
Now, Patty, why didn't you let me work it out in my way?
Didn't it occur to you that it would look mighty suspicious if a Mrs. Darrell James came to Bermuda and didn't leave?
Well, I hadn't thought of that. Anyway, you've got to stay out of sight. That is, until you're ready to leave.
I know all about staying on side streets. You taught me all there was to know, remember, darling?
Well, just where are you staying?
A private home in Warwick West. No one knows whether I come or go.
Well, just stay right where you are.
I will. What about you?
Well, the first step is to find out about the airport deal and how to get that cash.
And the next step is getting rid of Mrs. Darrell James, the original.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Just make up your mind to cross it, Darrell, because I've burned all the other ones behind us.
Yes, Darrell. The fire of passion has burned many bridges. And though this last one on which you stand has spanned an ocean, there is still a chance to turn back, but for one thing, greed. It is the bond between you and Patty, and it has soul-searing quality. And so now, you ride back to Cantalon. You watch the setting rays of the semi-tropical sun, and spacious Cantalon looms almost medieval in the descending twilight. And waiting for you as your ancient carriage rolls into the courtyard is Felicia, the original Mrs. Darrell James.
Well, I thought you'd never get here.
I did, too. Took hours to clear the customs. Hey, this is quite a place. Does it extend all the way to the bay?
That's our private dock, I'll have you know.
It looks almost as big as the port at Hamilton.
Yes, it's too big. It's become sort of a white elephant.
I see.
In fact, I'd almost forgotten about it myself. Then I got this wire from the airline company offering to buy it. They said something about using it as a seaplane base.
Yes, it's admirably laid out for an overseas base. Well, might as well get rid of this coat.
You dropped something, dear. Looks like that cablegram. Why, it's signed Mrs. Darrell James.
It was a little thing. The accidental incident. A troubled cablegram signed not Winthrop, but of all things, Mrs. Darrell James. You'll have some explaining to do, Darrell, even to Felicia. Simple soul that she is. Perhaps your whole plan will dissolve into thin air. Soon, Darrell James, I will write again under your name in the Diary of Fate.
Our story continues in just a moment, but first, here is our announcer.
It was a little thing. The unsuspected, unpredictable little thing. A crumpled cablegram that fluttered to the floor at Cantalon. But that insignificant occurrence revealed the name not of Winthrop, but of all names, Mrs. Darrell James. Perhaps the bridge of dreams on which you stand, Darrell, is now burning right to the ground. At any rate, you have an answer. And now Felicia at the dinner table is hearing it.
All I can say, dear, is that I think it's a prank.
You said it was from Winthrop.
I did? Darling, this wire I got at the cable office. The one from Winthrop I threw away.
Darrell, there isn't another Mrs. Darrell James by any chance?
Yes, there is, dear.
What?
My mother, Mrs. Darrell James Sr.
That's not very funny. And besides, she's in California. Just what would she be wiring for?
You know, come to think of it, that cablegram could have easily come from Mother. She's always referred to my father as Mr. James. You know, it's beginning to make sense. She's full of quirks. I'll cable her in the morning.
It still doesn't make sense.
Oh, someone at the door. I'll see who it is. Well, good day, Professor. Or should I say good evening?
I didn't mean to intrude on your dinner. I thought you folks might be through.
Come, have some tea with us, Professor.
No, thank you. I've had my quota for the next 6 weeks. Oh, by the way, Sir Howard was saying at dinner that Kentillon was one of the great show places on the island. Do you mind if I look around?
No, of course not.
I've got an idea. Let's all have a look around. It's still quite light out. After all, we'd like to be on hand when you stumble out of that pirate gold.
Oh, you'll have to count me out, dear. I'm a bit worn from the trip. Just the fireplace and the sound of the sea, and I'll be content.
You heard the lady, Professor. Yes. Looks like we'll have to handle this treasure hunt ourselves.
Stone water tanks, they're level with the ground.
I thought water tanks were something built up high.
Well, on this island, there's no well water on account of the coral. So your only supply is the rainwater. See these roofs, sort of corrugated and lime painted. They serve as water catchments for the rain.
You're sure you got this all out of books, Professor?
Sir Howard was telling me that the water tanks on his estate and this one have secret storage rooms directly under them.
For what?
To hide their pirate's loot from the inspectors of His Majesty's government.
Well, maybe there's still some of the treasure hidden there.
Not very likely. But anyway, let's have a look. Now, the trick is to find the entrances.
And just how do you do that?
Well, it must be parallel to Sir Howard's tank. At least, that might make a good place to start.
What about over here?
I think you have something. Yes. Yes, this sounds like it might be near.
Now, the track is here, and if the room is underneath, it must be here. Mm.
Look under the dirt. It sounds metallic.
You're right, Mr. James. This may well lead to it. Here, just grab a hold here and I'll pry it open the covering with this 2x4.
Yes.
Ready? All right. Well, this is something.
Look, Professor. Those stone steps, they lead down to something.
Willing to investigate?
Yeah, it looks pretty ominous. Okay, let's go. I don't lose that flashlight, whatever you do.
No.
Man, this joint looks weird. I hope that water tank doesn't decide to give way after all these years.
Now, this tunnel leads to somewhere. Why, look, Mr. James. Here's a room.
Is this where the pirate of Cantillon hid his booty? Say, look at those spigots in the wall. What do you think they were for?
They seem to connect with the water tank. Probably used for the overflow. If the rains got too abundant, they might have let some of the water into this room.
Maybe it was to drown his victims.
You know, this claw seems hollow. I wonder if there might be another room below.
Why, George, you're right, Professor. Look at these metal rings.
Must be attached to something. Let's take hold and see what happens.
Yeah.
It's coming up.
There. Oh, put that flashlight down there, Professor.
There. Why, it's another room. Shall we investigate?
Might as well. We might find the treasures of the Pirate of Cantillon. Oh, I've seen everything.
This is a strange set.
And foul smelling. Like the corpses.
Let's go further in.
Say, Professor, those vaults. What are they for?
Looks like Egyptian mummies. Perhaps this was a special room for the pirate Cantillon ship.
This room gives me the shudders.
Looks to be an ideal place for murder.
So it would seem, Professor. So it would seem.
As it so often happens, it is the little things that resolve into the big thing. A rare coin resulting in a shipboard acquaintance, and the casual stroll around Cantillon that led to the secret room. You have chosen the path of evil, Darrell, but all you can see is the perfect road to success. And so you plan as you traverse it, step by step.
Operator, connect me with Warwick 29, please. Hello, Patty. Listen, make reservations for one on the airwaves. Tonight, sign the passenger list, Mrs. Darrell James.
Well, good morning, darling. A Bailey, aren't you?
Well, it was such a beautiful morning, I couldn't resist strolling about the grounds.
Sounds like you've fallen in love with the place.
Well, as a matter of fact, I have.
I'm jealous.
You know, Felicia, after looking over the place, I've got an idea.
You don't want to sell?
No. I thought it might be nice to sort of keep that strip with the guest cottage. It runs right alongside the water tank. It'd be nice to have a little place to come down to on a vacation.
But the airline company object to cutting off parts of the estate.
No, not at all. I talked to Driscoll and said that we'd make an adjustment in the price. It's only a matter of some $7,000.
And what did he say?
Well, oddly enough, they were going to build a wall right about there, so they wanted to close off Sir Howard's property. Now all they have to do is move it so many feet west and have it close off our property.
Why, I think that's wonderful, dear. Then we can stay down here for a while.
That's just what I was thinking. Now come along. The sun's up and I want to show you the pirate's den that the professor and I discovered.
My word, Darrell. You haven't shown this much enthusiasm since we eloped.
Oh, the second honeymoon has gone to my head. Come along. You know, the professor is really a whiz. He's never been here before, but by reading and researching, he knows more about this country than most of the natives.
So this is where you were last night.
Mm-hmm. Now watch this. I pick up these iron doors, and presto, it opens.
Why, this is unbelievable.
Watch your step. Here's room one.
This another room?
The room below. That's where the pirate hid his booty.
Below here? Oh, I don't feel like coming down here. Air is so foul.
Oh, you've got to see it.
This place scares me.
Now, follow me down. Here, hold my hand. Here we are. Do you see those vaults, Jane?
Yes.
Well, that, darling, is where the pirate of Cantillon buried his treasures and his victims.
Yes. What are you doing that time?
An old piratical custom, dear. Just burying another Cantillon victim.
Yes. Don't point that gun at me. You're mad!
Find you a nice casket. There you are. And to make the job complete, I'll just open those spigots and flood this room. They'll never find you, no matter where they search. Sleep gently, my love. In your watery grave.
As the water reached the top of the dungeon room, you shut off the spigots. The large false metal floor was put back in place. You busied yourself shoveling it over with dirt to make the setting perfect. Once again in the open air, you fitted the flat metal door securely in place, covered it, and walked slowly away without even a passing glance of contrition. But the crime has been recorded on the infinite scroll, and soon I, Fate, will record the final entry under your name in the Diary of Fate.
In just a moment, the surprising conclusion to the story of Darrell James. But now, here again is our announcer.
Yes, Darrell James, your cup of joy was overflowing. You had nothing to worry about. Received Mr. Driscoll of the airline graciously. Explained that Mrs. James was suddenly called back to New York. Received a certified check for $193,000. You made reservations for your return to the States by plane. Late that evening, as you start up the ramp toward the loading zone of the airlines, someone stops you.
Mr. James? Mr. Darrell James?
Yes?
I'm from police headquarters. You're wanted to identify a body.
A body? I don't know what you're talking about.
Your wife's.
Your fond of her?
Sure. It's all over the front page of the papers.
I never thought you'd find her.
Well, it took a bit of searching.
Look, I'm not the man you want.
You're her husband, aren't you?
Yes, but I'm not responsible for her death. It was another party. A woman who planned it.
A what? It was, eh? Sounds interesting. Tell me more.
The murder was Patty's idea.
You say the murder was Patty's idea? And who was Patty?
Patty Daniels. She was jealous of my wife.
Go on.
She knew about the secret room below the water tank. She got my wife to go down there and then shot her.
Shot her? Shot Mrs. James?
Yes, yes.
Where could we find this Miss Patty Daniels?
Well, she left last night on Flight 7. She's probably in New York by now.
Flight 7, huh? Well, we can check that. I have a list of the passengers here.
Well, she's probably listed as Mrs. Daryl James.
Oh, we have a Mrs. Daryl James listed. Then Patty Daniels is the person who posed as Mrs. Daryl James. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Well, before booking you for murder, young man, you're going to identify the body of a Mrs. Daryl James, alias Miss Patty Daniels. You see, we just recovered all the bodies of the passengers in the crash of Flight 7. As I said before, it was all over the front pages.
Yes, Daryl James. The ironical coincidence led you to a confession. A simple routine question concerning the identification of a passenger listed as Mrs. Daryl James caused you to blurt out the real truth. It came so close to being the perfect crime, didn't it? And now it is time to close the book. In the case of Daryl James, as in the cases of all mortals, I, fate, am but the instrument of a plan. And the countless little things that happen are the tools with which I work. Daryl James made a decision for evil. Then I, fate, intervened. And because of little things, he unwittingly confessed to a crime for which he will pay with his life. Heed well the moral, you who listen, and remember, there is a page for you in the Diary of Fate.
Included in our cast were Herbert Litton, Virginia Gregg, Joe Forte, Byron Kane, Ray Erlenborn, Jimmy Murphy, and Hal Sawyer. Diary of Fate is a Larry Finley production, transcribed in Hollywood.